a laminated bench top as a standard, I would just walk away. I would walk away and get up and leave. Just you see this on lease, you're just like, nah, sorry, I just can't do it.
That's it.
And you just walk away.
Hello and welcome back to the number one home building podcast in Australia. This week, we've had a long debate about what we're going to actually talk about. And we thought we've given you loads of suggestions and loads of things that we feel you can do to help improve your home and learn about home building and what to do. But we've never actually done something about what not to do and what not to include. So we thought this episode, although we do have a lot of points and a lot of topics today, that we thought we'd try and knock out around 20 of the things we think you should not include in your new home. So yeah, we'll do something a little bit different. And
sounds good.
Let's go. So as usual, do we want to quickly introduce ourselves before we get into the dot points? So do you want to kick us off?
Chris Baptista, Director of Homes by CMA, one of the best and biggest builders in Queensland. And we've built over 1,000 homes now.
Love it. Love the enthusiasm. So my name is Jaden Peters. I am the marketing manager for Homes by CMA. So we've got 20 points we want to try and share with you guys today. Number one being 600 millimeter appliances. Now, in my opinion, this is definitely a no-go when it comes to building.
Even if you don't cook.
Yeah.
You still should get a 900.
That's it. Yeah. That's even it. If you don't cook, 900 is still the way to go, right?
Definitely. Definitely.
The sad part is obviously a lot of builders still offer 600 millimeter appliances as standard. But yeah, like.
3 points in terms of looks. A 900 looks so much better.
Yes.
In terms of practicality, I know for those that don't cook, obviously it doesn't apply. But for those that cook, you get so much more space in a 900.
Yep.
And in terms of resale.
Yes.
Because, you know, again, we have 900 appliances as standard. And when people walk in, it's like, wow, how big is this cooktop?
That's it. You know, and there's so many more options. Like if you wanted to go like something where it's like built in or inducted or any of that, like there's so many things. But
do you mean induction?
That's what I said. What did I say?
Inducted.
Oh, wow. Induction. I was like, yes, this is your first day coming for your induction. Yes. Induction cooktops. Thank induction, you. Appreciate induction. That. Cool. So let's move on to number two.
I mean, I do this shit all the time. So I'm the worst. So when I hear, I'm like, oh, I can pick on someone.
Yeah, that's it. The tables have turned.
That's it.
So number two that we think is that an absolute no-go is 400 by 400 tiles or 450 by 450, whatever you want to say. Definitely think they're out of fashion. And especially with like the rectified edges and that, I know you hate it.
The only reason that they standard with most builders is because they're cheap and they're cheap to buy and they're cheap to lay.
Yeah.
But usually something that's cheap is not going to look good. Mm. And this is a prime example.
That's it.
So definitely if you are going with tiles, 600 by 600, I would go with this as a minimum size. And rectified edge. Again, for those that don't know, rectified edge is a square edge tile as opposed to like a beveled edge. It just gives it that really sleek look.
Yeah,
whether you go matte, so whether you go gloss, it just looks amazing.
It does. Makes it look like the floor is floating.
Oh,
it looks
for sure. So good, right? For sure. The grout lines are going to be small as opposed to the beveled edge tiles, which have really wide grout lines. It just doesn't look right.
Yeah,
it looked right maybe 50 years ago, but it doesn't look anymore. Yeah.
That's it. Like you said, like, you know, the construction and industry has come so far now and like the, you know, the modern trends and everything
definitely,
like that
definitely.
So far.
Yeah.
One of the other things I think, which brings us on to number three is when you go over to someone's house and they still have like a bit of a narrower entryway. So like a smaller door, it's around like the 800 millimeter doors. I definitely think 1200 is a must.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Yeah.
And again, I think it just, like you said, it's wider. It's going to be easier to move in. And it just makes your facade look better, right?
It's grand.
Yeah.
So whether you're welcoming guests, you know, whether you look at your front facade, it just looks amazing, I guess. And again, usually it's not that expensive. To upgrade to a 1200 door, but it just looks $1 million. So
For sure. So that brings us to number four, and we're just sort of cutting through the chase here, but number four is when you have built-in baths as opposed to a freestanding. Personally, I think the freestanding is so much better, like the built-in ones, and obviously people like to argue that it's harder to clean, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
is it?
I personally think the built-in is actually harder to clean. By the time you get your tiles around and your silicone around and the water gets there and you got to clean the water, yes, the freestanding bath has a bit of a gap at the back, but all you need to do is get some kind of mop and and it's done.
Exactly.
But it's all one structure. There's no silicone on top. It just looks neat.
Yeah.
It's usually bigger.
That's it.
So if you're really tall or you got kids, that bath is just so much so bigger inside.
Yeah.
And it just looks wow. I feel.
Yeah.
And we've done that where we got a bath, a bathroom with a built-in bath and a bathroom with a freestanding bath. I mean, it could be exactly the same bathroom, but the other one's going to look so good.
So good. And it just appears like a bigger room for some reason because you don't have that bulky sort of built-in.
Cool. And also, another good point that most people don't think about is if you got kids and they drop something, put a massive dent in it.
Yeah.
Built-in bath, a lot harder to fix. Freestanding bath, a lot easier to fix.
That's it. Good point. Which brings us to number five. So a lot of builders just have plain concrete in their their porch or their alfrescos and everything like that.
Not even.
That's it. Yeah.
A lot of builders have dirt. Yeah, that dirt. Then you can upgrade to plain concrete.
Yeah.
And then you can upgrade to plain concrete and tiles.
That's it.
So definitely don't recommend dirt.
Yeah.
It has its use. No, I would not recommend.
That's it. Like if you've got like a paddock or something.
Yeah. So plain concrete, I guess, it's good, but. And it serves a purpose. It's going to be better than dirt, I guess. But it's just not going to look finished. And that's the problem with it.
Yeah.
You tile your alfresco, you tile your porch, it looks finished. It's easier to keep clean. You put a nice table, some chairs in it, and it just looks finished.
For sure.
And particularly in terms of resale, it's just so much better.
Yeah, it looks so nice, right? Mm. Awesome. So that brings us to number six. Number six, in my opinion, especially in Queensland, is an absolute must. And that is aircon. Mm-hmm. Having aircon, I don't know about you, but I like to sleep and it's nice and cool.
I agree. I'm definitely a sort of aircon type of guy, particularly in Queensland.
Yeah.
So as a bare minimum, a split system is, I think, what you should have as a standard. If you can stretch to it, ducted air is really good.
Yeah.
Again, I feel for the investment you're going to spend for a ducted air system, around maybe $10,000, depending on the house.
Yeah.
The resale you're going to get for it is worth it.
For sure.
And it's so good. Most of the sort of air conditioning nowadays is efficient. Yeah. You've got zones. You can decide to just put the master bedroom on if you want. And it's just, I feel as humans, it's a bit of a change of topic, but like, we tend not to do good things for ourselves. And then we're going to spend money in stupid things. And like, you're going to leave there. You sleep. Sleep is one of the most important things you can do in your life. If you sleep well, you're going to be good.
That's it. Yeah.
And I feel spending that money, if you had to divide that on a daily thing, it wouldn't be that much.
That's it. Yeah. Broken down over time.
That's exactly
100%
right.
100% right. Yeah. So that brings us to number seven. Mm-hmm. And number seven isn't necessarily an actual product, but it's more to do about your design. So I think having a three-bedroom house isn't probably the best to go. Like obviously if you've got a smaller block or you specifically have a custom house that's built to that and you plan to live in this for the rest of your life or whatever, 100%. But in terms of resale value,
completely agree.
Four bedrooms minimum, definitely way to go.
Completely agree. Again, if it's your own house and it's a really long-term thing and you don't really mind, you want what you want, I completely understand in this case, so if the block's a bit too small.
Yeah.
But
that was really quick. You're like, holy moly.
But from someone that's built a lot of houses for sale, believe me, four bedrooms will get you more money.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Alarm going off midway through a podcast.
It's the end of the podcast now.
How rude.
But four bedrooms will get you more money. Four bedrooms and a two-car garage will get you more money.
Yeah.
Four bedrooms and two living will get you more money.
Yeah.
It's just about what is the plan for your house? Is it going to be, I know that you might not have the five kids and all that and that's fine, but it's about, you always have to think, like whenever I build a house for myself, as an example, I always think about resale.
Yeah.
you might not be selling the house now. You might not be selling the house in five years, but you got to think about resale.
That's it.
Particularly because, and again, I don't know what we can say here or not, but because of the tax benefits in it too.
That's it.
Usually you don't have to pay any capital gain tax if it's your own house.
That's it.
Speak to your
accountant. We're not advisors.
No, that's it. Refer to the terms and conditions on the website, scroll down and go to the bottom.
That's it.
But yeah, it's just think about the resale. When you do things for your house, think about that. And when I build my own house, it always gives me a really good structure as to, you know, is it worth doing this or is it worth doing this or should I do this?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Speaking of resale, this brings us to our next topic, which is number 8. And I think having another incredible thing that can add value to your home is having good landscaping. I think you should definitely try and have good landscaping. You have a great example of, you know, how this difference can come into effect. So did you want to tell them about the iEndeavor and how we did the renders?
Yeah. I mean, jump on the CMA sort of Instagram page and have a look at our renders.
Yeah.
And what we've done is we used to do them with pretty, I guess, normal landscaping.
Yeah.
And then we've done them with really good landscaping. And the difference that it makes to your house is so big that
100%.
We were like mind blown. We were so shocked by how much of a difference landscaping can make to exactly the same house.
Exactly, yeah.
And
but it looks so much more expensive.
It looks so much better. Yeah. Like, you know, the things we normally do, and again, it's very house specific, but you know, a few steps at the front, a little bit of a retaining wall.
For sure.
Nicer plants, hanging plants, lighting. And I mean, the difference incredible. When we see those two renders and they are exactly the same house, it's mind-blowing.
For
mind
sure. Blowing. 100%. Mm. Another thing I think, which brings us to number 9, that is gone of the times, is tiled roofs. Like, it's still a thing. Like from all the houses we've done, I've never handed over a house.
No, we've done a few. Yeah. We've done a few and they've got their use. And again, I will respect those clients that want to have that. Mm-hmm. Their styles where it works, I feel, you know, some Hamptons and some Mediterranean style.
Yeah, you
style.
Can rock it. Yeah,
it works.
Yeah.
But this is 2021. Get That's rid it. Of the tile roof.
It's a bit old.
Gold color bond. Great warranties. Much better when there is a storm. Leak resistant. That's I mean, it. Yeah, for me, from a builder's point of view and from a looks point of view, it's a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer. Especially with like the hailstorms, like you're saying, that with a tiled roof, you literally have holes in your roof as opposed to if you had a tin roof where you'd be dented, but it wouldn't have leaks and wouldn't have holes.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Exactly right, yeah.
Awesome. So that brings us to number 10, 11. I've lost count. I'm not too sure where.
25.
That's it. Either way, it is 2440 ceilings.
Yeah,
right.
No.
Exactly.
Just no. That's Don't it. Do it.
Definitely, if you can, go for the 2590 at the minimum. Mm. 2440 makes it feel like you're about to duck in to a room every time you go in. And it just makes your house and everything feel a lot more smaller and cramped. Definitely. And yeah, it's just not a vibe, eh?
No, I completely agree. There's only one specific case where it works in that's a two-story house on the first floor.
Yeah.
But again, it's borderline. And again, if we do like what we say and you think ahead of time, upgrade to a 2590.
Yeah.
It will look much better. Your house will feel much bigger too.
That's it. Yeah.
More air, more space, and just in terms of resale. Definitely much, much better.
Yeah.
2440 ceiling, yeah, and the tiled roof and the beveled edge 450 tiles, they all fall in the same category of the things you don't want to have in the house.
Yeah, that's it.
Definitely.
That's it. Well said. Mm-hmm. So that brings us to number 12, which is, in my opinion, again, another must, curb cutout. Must have a curb cutout, right? Like, how bad is it when you rock up into your driveway
and it
feels like you're about to go, you know, 4x4 in because you're getting go over that hump every time. Like,
for sure. And for those that don't know what the curb cutout is, it's at the front of your house where the road meets, I guess, your driveway, there's a piece of concrete and that's called a curb, built by a council because that's just what they do, I guess.
Yeah, we don't know why. Just to make your life
raise
painful.
That question.
That's it.
But I guess it'd be hard for them to just know exactly what the driveway would be.
Yeah.
But yeah, long story short, you leave it on every time you get in your driveway, you're going to have that hump and hump and hump, and it's just so annoying.
Yeah.
Particularly if you don't have a four-wheel drive and you've got a normal car, which yeah. most people have.
Or a low car.
It's just shit. Really annoying. So yeah. Ask your builder to cut that curb, remove that curb, pour brand new concrete there, yeah. Nearly flush with the road, is going to be perfect.
For sure. Mm. Awesome. So that brings us to number 13, and that is laminate flooring. Mm. So, like, it looks okay, but in terms of practical use, probably that's not it. The yeah. best thing to come, right?
Yeah, that's a good product, you know. However, not good in terms of water resistance. And yep. that's where the problem is, whether you got moisture in your slab or your floors, or, you know, you drop a sort of bucket of sort of water while you were mopping the floor and you dropped it, yeah. Or you get a leak.
Yeah. Chris clearly doesn't mop.
It so. Doesn't. No. I do, actually. I do mop. Yeah. Not my laminate floors because I don't have them.
Yeah.
But I would have a hybrid floor.
He's
instead.
Like, what do you call this thing?
And a hybrid like a floor is like a laminate floor, but it's waterproof.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what you want. So laminate flooring will be cheaper at the start, but in the long run, most people won't end up paying for it because of a leak or something that's going to happen. In
some
that
stage, right?
Yeah, definitely.
It's just a,
definitely.
It's just a win.
So go with a hybrid right away, spend a little bit extra, get a waterproof floor, and it's done.
Awesome. Something similar, which brings us on to the next one, is the laminate like bench tops
yeah,
as opposed to stone. Yeah. So yeah, same thing. Mm-hmm. Doesn't, you know, obviously look as good.
No, I mean, it's fine if you're going for a 1950s look. I get it in that case.
Yeah, I mean, in that case, it would probably suit perfect. And
I just don't know
it.
How many people would go with that look. But yeah, again, a builder that offers this, yeah. a builder that offers a laminate bench top as a standard,
yeah.
I would just walk away. I would walk away and yeah, yeah. Just you see this on the list, you're just like, yeah. nah, sorry, I just can't do it.
That's it.
And you just walk away.
can't do it.
Yeah, can't
it's
do
too
it.
Much.
Most normal builders nowadays would offer a 20 mil stone bench top throughout the house. Yeah. It's called engineered stone. So it doesn't have the maintenance of natural stone, but it has the same look and easier to clean, and it just looks great. And again, when we think ahead of time, you just want to have stone bench tops in your house. You don't want to have a laminate, except for maybe a study nook. That's probably the only place where it would look really good.
Yeah, yeah.
But apart from that, no go.
For sure. Mm. So that brings us to number 15, which is to not have a shower niche, you know, which often leads to a lot of awkward situations in the shower. So it's probably best to just have a shower niche, right?
Well, yeah, you know what I thought? Not having a shower niche is like having a vanity with no doors.
Yeah.
So you can't store anything.
That's
true.
You
know, and you feel you got shampoos, you got this, you got that, and a shower niche just makes things look neat.
100%.
So not only it's practical, it's usually not expensive. We charge $179.
Yeah.
We've seen a few builders called where they charge probably $500 for a niche. But, you know, it's still worth it, I think.
Yeah.
If you have to go with those builders.
Yeah.
If you have to.
Yeah. Twist your arm.
But yeah, that's it. So it's practical. It looks good.
Mm.
And it looks good not just because, like, say, if you had two showers and exactly the same, say, white tiles, one's got a niche and one hasn't got a niche, the one with the niche will look so much better.
For sure.
Put a nice black trim around it.
Yeah, plant.
It's going to pop nice and plant. It's going to look amazing.
For yeah, sure.
That's exactly right. So it's practical. And I just feel shampoos on the floor. It's just,
Like you said, you can get all the cool trims.
For sure.
So like you said, you got the matte black.
For sure.
We've seen like the matte white looks super cool.
Matte white,
you got brush brass.
Definitely.
Or chrome, whatever it is as
definitely.
Well.
And you can also switch that up into a shelf. So it's like a wall-to-wall niche, but with no top. So it's just a shelf and you can even store more products and it looks great. It looks great. I think it adds like a bathroom is usually four walls and it's just flat.
Yeah, yeah.
I think a niche just adds a bit of texture to this sort of bathroom.
For sure.
And it just breaks it up, breaks up all the four like square flat walls.
That's it.
So a lot of time people add that to a bath too.
Yeah.
Like you got your freestanding bath, they might put a niche. Imagine you're just nice hanging plants.
That's it.
When you have a bath, put a candle in there.
Right. Looks incredible.
Know? Done.
Looks
put incredible. Your glass of wine in there.
What a move.
For the ladies, done. That's it.
That's it. Awesome. So that brings us to where we are.
I do not recommend drinking alcohol, by the way. Yes. I got to be careful about the terms and conditions.
That's it. please don't take any of this as a proper advice for drinking.
We do not anchor
financial advice. That's it, yeah. But building advice, follow it to a T.
Yeah, that's it.
But that brings us to, I think it's like number 16 or something, which is, you know, the old school like batten lights.
Mm.
Some builders still have these as a standard.
Yes.
And you're like, why? There is,
yeah,
so bad.
Yeah, there's only one reason for it, and it's cheap.
Yeah,
It's cheap. So, yeah, you definitely want to have really nice LED downlights. Yeah,
LEDs are
they're really cost efficient nowadays. Not just to buy, but to run. They're super easy to change. What we use is just you don't even need a sub electrician.
Yeah,
they're just a plug-in, plug-out.
Yep.
Super easy. It gives you great light, and the batten light is a no-go.
Yeah.
Not only because it gives you shit light, but it also looks shit.
Yeah.
So you definitely-
Just like a hole in the roof. Just
you could have the best looking bedroom and have just a batten light in the middle.
Just hanging.
It's just, no, don't do it. Don't do it.
Yeah, definitely don't.
But I see a lot of time when we do handovers and you know that you look at the house next door that's getting built by another builder and you look inside and you're like, oh my God, they still got a batten light.
Yeah,
like,
seriously. What is going on here?
And then the problem is client move in and you know, you got to get an electrician, you're going to spend more money and it's just painful.
Just get the upgraded.
Just get the upgraded LEDs, yeah.
Sweet. So that brings us to like number 17, which is a little bit of a controversial topic and it may cause a little bit of controversy. Controversy. I can't even speak. What is going on? But it's definitely through and through. We are big fans of steel frames.
Oh yeah.
Timber frames.
Sure. I was wondering where you were going with this controversy.
Timber frames are a no-go. Yeah, we definitely think they're sort of not the way anymore. You know, pretty much 99% of the building industry now uses steel frames, or at least all the big companies use steel frames. You know,
yeah,
there's lots of benefits, right?
Completely agree with all that. It's 2021. Timber is just not a consistent product to use. It doesn't like when it's wet. It's never straight, no matter how good of a timber you get.
Yeah.
And it just puts a lot more emphasis on labor, which means that the consistency and the quality is never going to be that great.
That's it.
Steel is also recyclable.
Yeah.
So that's also a great,
recyclable,
great it's plus.
Termite proof. 50-year warranty.
And again, if we think of the long-term termite proof, it's a big thing because Australia's got so much of those bad boys.
For sure.
So yeah, at least if you do get any termites, you know that the structure of your house is always going to be there.
That's it.
And to
it's
me,
strong.
That's peace of mind. And yeah, from a builder's point of view, I would rather, much rather use a steel frame. And we don't need to go technical, but for example, when you have roof trusses on a timber frame, you have a camber in the trusses, which is a little bit of a wave, and that's normal.
Mm.
But that also means that your ceiling is never flat.
Yeah.
And to me, I like precision, I like straight, and crisp, with steel, that's what you get.
Yeah, for sure. So that brings us on to number 19, which is one of our last. And for me, this is an absolute must. I use this every single day. I'm not too sure about you, but it's having a fridge tap.
Oh, yeah.
So.
No, I mean, I don't use my fridge tap, but that's just because it's me.
he actually doesn't drink any water at all. He just bases himself off food.
I'm a machine.
That's it.
No, I completely get it and I recommend it. And that's because most fridges nowadays have a fridge connection.
It makes sense, right?
For your water, for your ice cubes, it's just a normal thing now. So
Most of them even got like TVs and stuff built in now. Like you can connect to your phone.
That's exactly right. And again, it's one of those things that once the house is built, it's just very, very hard to add if you need to add it on. So for the small cost that it is, we charge $149. It's not that much, you get the air convenience of it.
That's it. Mm. And it's a very hard product to add after the fact. So if you don't get it then and there, it's going to be very expensive to get it done and very difficult to do. So,
Some cases it might not even really be possible if you have a two-story house and it just depends how the water runs, but it might just be very hard here.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, that brings us to our very last, which is number 20. And I know this triggers you a little bit. It's the carpeted staircase. So like obviously they have their place, you know, with certain styles and things like that, especially that 50s one that we were talking about. But for the main part, it's definitely should be a no-go and it should be a bare minimum of a timber staircase, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, again, it suits some Hamptons style homes and it suits some of the designs that have a specific staircase.
Yeah, yeah.
I get it in those instances. For sure. I don't get it in a normal instance. Mm. But the reason a lot of people still have them is just because with most builders, it's a standard thing.
Yeah.
And if you want a timber staircase, you have to upgrade.
For sure.
But to me, a hardwood timber staircase is a must. It looks good.
Looks incredible.
Low maintenance. I mean, you just can't go wrong with it.
Yeah.
While carpets, you know, it might look okay. Not that I even like it, but it might look okay when it's new.
It's not very durable.
You will most likely need to clean it all the time, change it. And that's because, you know, like a staircase is such a high traffic area that it's just, and particularly if you have kids.
For sure. Yeah.
I think the carpet on the staircase is...
Timber's definitely the way to go.
Definitely.
A lot better. And it just adds value as well, right? Like it looks...
Yeah. It you know, again, we've done it before. The same staircase or the same house with a carpeted staircase, the same house with a really nice looking timber staircase. It changes the whole thing.
Worlds apart.
Changes the whole thing.
That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Awesome. So that pretty much concludes the 20 that I had. Is there any that you can think of before we head off and we get out of here that you want to include?
I mean, there's always lots of stuff that that I see still nowadays, and it blows my mind that people still do it. Mm. But I guess...
Vertical blinds.
Vertical blinds, yeah. They work in an office, and even then, I'm not a big fan of it. But it's just, I guess, you know, if... just think of it that way. Just think about resell. Mm. Think about what's going to get you more money for the house and think long term. I know that sometimes some of those products might be cheaper to buy now, like the laminate flooring and the laminate benchtop, but then in the long term, they might actually cost you more.
That's it.
So they are worth the investment now. And particularly, again, like we said with the fridge tap, things that that are going to be much harder to do once you move in.
That's it.
So, for sure. And then costs you a lot more.
That's it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, there you have it. There is our breakdown of some things of what not to include in your new home and some great alternatives there as well. We hope you enjoyed this podcast and we will see you next week with a brand new episode.
Sounds good.
Okay.